Let's give him a hand clap of praise and worship this morning. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, lift you up, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Open your Bibles up with me this afternoon. Galatians. It's good to be a Christian today. Be in the house of the Lord. Have the joy of the Lord in my heart. Comes out in my mouth, in my praise, in my life. Hallelujah. I think we're just going to go through the book of Galatians here. I've been feeling to go this way for a while, kind of put it off. But I feel like it's a good time to teach the Word of God. I'm glad to know by revelation that what's in the Bible always applies to today. And it's always good for us. And actually, it's the only thing good for us anymore. There's nothing else in this world that will help you. Everything else is, even what temporal benefit it did have. We know sin can give pleasure for a season, but we're at the time of the world that all that's running out. Every security that they used to have, every benefit that we had, it's all disappearing fastly. But why has God allowed that? And so we can realize that without Him, we're nothing. That without having the Word of God, there's all this other stuff was going to run out eventually anyways. But God knew He'd restore the church back so we don't have to worry about running out. Where I'm filled to overflowing. You know? Hallelujah. I know we only did 7 parts on the headstone there, so that was kind of short for Brother Andrew, but I was kind of wrapping up the original returning anyway, so more like 40. So I don't think it'll take too many to get through Galatians. Who knows? You know, I don't want to speak too soon. Galatians 1, let's read the word together. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and to another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach on any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. I just like to stop there. And for the first thing here in Galatians, I like to speak on the authority of Paul. The authority of Paul. Let's bow our heads together. As we approach His Word, you coming in a heart full of faith this afternoon? Well, God will answer any request that's behind your hand. Let's raise our request to Him now in faith. As we approach the Word of God, say, Lord, you know what's in there. You go ahead and pray. I'll lead in prayer, though. Heavenly Father, we come expecting, Lord, what your word said, that where 2 or 3 would gather together, you'd be here in the midst, Lord. And you sent us a voice in this age that says, wherever the supernatural God is, there's supernatural there. Wherever Jesus was, there was a lot of noise. There was a lot of things going on because it was a supernatural being, not some natural thing. We thank you, Lord, that we've got revelation today. That we can see you as you are, Lord, and that you're the Holy Ghost, the same today as you've always been. We pray, Lord, that the anointing of God that's here this afternoon would break the bread of life to us, Lord, and you'd feed our souls and destroy every work of the enemy that's worked in any life here. We pray, Father, that if there's anyone out of the fellowship with you, that, Lord, the Word would bring them back into fellowship again. If there's anyone that needs healing this afternoon, may the Word of God heal that soul and bring them back to full health. Lord, more than anything, let our hearts, our souls, our minds, let it all be ready for the coming of the Lord that we know is soon upon us. As we look up, Lord, that our redemption's drawing nigh, may we check up, Lord, to make sure that everything's in the grace of God, everything's still in the Word of God. Help each Christian today. Speak to us, Lord, as we know judgment starts at the house of God. Have your will, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank the Lord. The authority of Paul. The Lord willing, we'll see where He takes us as far as where we're going to go with this. But I've learned when it comes to this word in this age, that vision that Brother Branham have of crossing the curtain of time has become more and more prevalent to me, that there was only one main thing that we know was said or done in that vision besides, you know, him seeing the thousands out there on the hills, and I believe to be one of them. You've got to have faith for that as well. But what was the thing that was said as Brother Branham asked the question? He said, well, you know, the Holy Spirit or the angel of the Lord, whichever, but I know it's the same voice anyhow, so that's all right, was telling him, says, you know, he said, am I going to have to be judged? He said, you were born a leader, Brother Branham. You were born a leader, and you'll be judged according to what you preach. And he says, well, if I'm to be judged with my people, what about Paul? He said, he'll be judged with his people as well. Well, then praise God, because if he's going in, too, because I preached the same thing that Paul preached. And the thousands and millions of voices said, we're resting on that. Not anything else, not some idea, but we're resting that the gospel that was given to Paul is the true and living gospel. And that when Brother Branham was the voice in this age to bring back the word, it wasn't sounding a different trumpet. It wasn't bringing a new revelation. It was bringing what was lost. And that is what we can hinge our souls on. That is the gospel. That is the good news. And outside that is not good news. As many years we used to think, didn't we, that the gospels are where, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that those things are what we needed to exalt. And I'm not saying we don't. But what I'm saying is that we had the picture backwards. We thought that the church lived so Jesus could be exalted. But now we found out that Jesus gave his life to exalt the bride of Christ, to show that you could do the same things he did. Come on now, we're getting real quiet real fast, but you don't understand how this works. God is the most humble being you will find. He is the Almighty. He will receive all praise, but he's able to humble himself in such a way to where he walks up right to somebody and they don't even know who he is. He's right there in the midst of centurions and Romans and everything else. Yet only a very fine group of people have any revelation of who this man is. Yet it was the Almighty God. Yet the day when he brought the scriptures, he says, this day this scripture is fulfilled right in your eyes. They all just kind of stared at him and thought, this is kind of a funny sermon. This is kind of boring, not getting too loud or nothing. But yet, Brother Branham said, that was the greatest anointing that had ever hit the world. Why? Because the Word of God was coming to pass right in their midst. It wasn't just laying there on Isaiah anymore. It was coming, and the acceptable year of the Lord was being preached. And then we had the Word of the Lord coming this day and say, this Scripture is fulfilled, that the day of destruction is at hand. That's absolutely right. The second coming of the Lord is upon us, and it's already begun. Don't put it off in the future. He's already began to appear. He's began to show his hands. He's began to show his feet. And he began to show his face. That's right. And all we're just waiting on is that physical part to open up, and we'll go on home. That's right. But what we need to realize is that as these degenerate souls as they are, we knew they were coming. I'm not surprised at all by what Believe the Sign has done and all these other groups that's begun to turn on the message and these individuals that have stirred up that were in the message. No, they weren't really in it. That's they associated with it. Because if you get in the revelation, you don't get out. You get sealed in. There's no doors back out. You're in Christ. That's it. It's settled. Hallelujah. And when these fall away, we know the Bible told us that before he'd come, there'd be a great falling away. Yeah, we see so many people's face getting rattled, and I just don't understand why until I begin to realize this idea right here of the authority of Paul the Apostle. We go back now, and we've talked about Paul's conversion, that it wasn't the prettiest one out there. How many of you killed Christians before you came one? You might not think you did, but you might have killed someone's character. We'll say that much. Hallelujah. But you know, you didn't physically pick up a sword or command soldiers to put him in jail and things like that, but this man did. This man was vehement against the name of Jesus Christ. And then God, we know, he gives him a conversion, he gives him the Holy Ghost, and he doesn't just save the man. He doesn't even just redeem him and give the Holy Ghost to him. He says, you are a chosen vessel. You will be the messenger to the Gentiles. And I'm sure Paul or Peter and John and James and all those people at Jerusalem would say, oh, no, that can't be right. There's just no way. Look at what you used to be and look at all these things. But see, that's not the authority that God was talking about. God's authority is given by grace. Amen. It is given not by something you merit. It is given because God has elected you. That's what Paul breaks his whole life on. Is I wasn't seeking God. God came in a pillar of fire and met me and told me His name and told me where to go and gave me the Holy Ghost. So I'm not afraid to be what God has called me. And for you to say, listen now, that you believed in Jesus Christ and then deny Paul made you a liar. The dispensation had changed. See, we exalt. Denominations exalt Jesus. Do you understand? They exalt Him in a way. They call Him the Son of God. They call Him these things. But yet, because they deny the messenger that He Himself has sent, they have actually denied the one they say they are serving. That's why the vision, that's why the distinct thing that we know is that what Brother Branham brought to us is what Paul preached, because the authority that Jesus Christ gave to that apostle,
yes, exactly right,
He gave to this prophet.
Amen. Amen.
And I believe he was a prophet as well. You don't write the word of the Lord and not be a prophet. Don't go off on tangents. We know he calls himself right here, and that's what I want to talk about first, is God called Paul. There was no denominations around. There were no churches around. There's no spiritual brothers that came around and got him. God found His servant.
Amen.
And called him to the grace of God.
Amen.
That's right. He called him to be an apostle. And I've learned we've let that creep into the message a little bit, a little denominational thought about that.
Sure.
That God can't call a man just directly now. God's got an order to these things, does He? That's the order I just found. Let's read that one more time. Paul, an apostle, not of men. So first, it's not a denominational affair. He wasn't voted in. Come on now. He wasn't greatly supported. We'll find that out in a minute. If you only understood how much Paul went through to be what God called him, you'd appreciate these letters a little bit more. He wasn't afraid. He was fearless because he knew where he stood. And he used with the grace of God. And without it, we'd all be lost. You understand that? Without Paul the Apostle bringing the revelation to the Gentiles, we'd have no idea of salvation. We'd have no idea what it was all about. I understand that Peter opened the door, but what good does it do to open a door if nobody walks in? Come on now, let's get all loosened up. Not of men, neither by man. What's the difference there? First, I'm not part of a group. Neither did men come find me and place me into this. And I appreciate, now there's truth to that to an extent, that a man of God can see a gift of God and God can use a man to get to another man. Absolutely. But if God wasn't behind that in the first place, that's just going to be fault. That's going to fall apart. It will, absolutely, because it's of men. It's by men. How many denominational preachers do we have in this message that were brought in because they're so-and-so? And they're kind of charismatic, and they know the course real well. But look, that's not the identification. That's not what Paul was basing on. I'm just skipping ahead, whatever. He said, the signs of an apostle were done among you by me.
Yeah.
He said, the mighty works, not just words, but deeds of God, proved that I was an apostle.
Right.
And I will show you that Paul, he exalted his position above all apostles. Woo, glory. Look how quiet we got. See, we don't understand how this works. He wasn't exalting himself as a man. It was the grace of God given to him. That if they didn't understand that what God was doing through Paul was the absolute, they wouldn't make it. And if you have a resistance to that, I'm telling you, there's something wrong in your experience. Because Jesus told us, how do we do the works of God, Jesus? How do we do the works of God? Do I fast? Do I pray? Do I do this? That's what they were looking for. Do I go to church? And that's all great. That's all good. But he said, look, that's not how you do the works of God. If you want to do the works of God, first you've got to believe in whom He has sent. If you don't believe in whom God has sent, there's no point doing any of that. That's what's so sad about this age that we're living in. God help us to not base salvation on anything besides the grace of God that's been extended to us. That God brought us the Word. We didn't go finding the Word. He brought us the Word. I feel like I'm talking to myself, but I'm here to tell you the Holy Ghost has brought us the Word again that Paul had. And we've got to get in it. We've got to believe it for ourselves that it's absolutely thus saith the Lord. And everything contrary, my thoughts, my ideas, my feelings are of the devil.
Amen.
Say you're exalting a man. God exalted this man. God put him in that position. God doesn't make it work. Here's the thing, though. For him to be in that position in the body of Christ, I understand we don't get a revelation outside of Paul. Listen now, it had to come through what God gave us. We are to be the voice to repeat it and believe it. Amen. Come on now. But that doesn't mean that Paul wasn't, he was just barking orders and didn't have to do it himself. He was right there on the front line. I don't care what office you're in the body of Christ, you're on the front line. Amen. Now God has an order, he has an establishment, but it's not like men. Remember what Jesus said, the greatest among you, let him be your minister.
Right.
Not your minister like we think. I'm a minister. I'm reverence. You ought to worship. That's not what he's. A minister is a servant. He said, the greatest among you, the one that God has given the most grace, labor the most for the others. And oh my, God help me to be a shadow of what Paul did for the church of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But don't get too wrapped up in doing big things. That's why we don't do nothing.
Right.
One of the greatest curses is doing nothing because you only can do a little. Listen to me now. You do nothing because you can only do a little. But you understand if you just had two fishes and five loaves of bread.
Amen.
And you didn't have no faith, there have been a lot of hungry people that day. But there was a little boy. See, not some big old denomination. Somebody little enough to just believe that the Word was standing there and asked for his lunch. Look, it was, I think it was Philip went and found the boy. See, you have to believe in whom God has sent. Even right there, the simplest things. Why didn't Jesus go to him? Because he was showing you how he works. He is the vine, but the church is the branches.
That's exactly
right. Hallelujah. And he sent Philip down there. He found a little boy, brought it back. But when it got to the vine, it was energized. And it could feed 5,000 men, women, and children.
Right.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men. See, this is why people hate the message, because they can identify with a prophet 2,000 years ago. They can say, oh yeah, he was called a god, and that's the word right there. But God forbid that God do it again in this day. But yet, to accept one is to accept the other. To deny one is to deny the other. That's why the second people have turned away from this message, turned away from Brother Branham, they begin to tear down the epistles right here.
Sure do.
Oh, we don't have to worry about cutting our hair. It's all right. If we don't have no contentions among us, they'll misquote that, won't they? Well, what Paul was saying is, look, I'm the absolute. What God has given me. And look, this was even beyond his mental capacity. He's saying what God has moved in me to say to you is the absolute. He just said it right there. But though we, verse 8, though we, he was including himself, though we or an angel from heaven preach anything else, tell you anything different than what I already told you, let him be accursed.
Uh-huh.
He was saying this is it. What God has given to this ministry. And if you only understood how the ministry is like two people in one, you'd understand the Godhead a little bit better too. That's what Jesus was as well. But that this man, under the anointing, knew that that was thus saith the Lord, and nothing could be added, taken away, changed at all. But then he still had his own mind. He still had his own thoughts. He still could write in Romans 7, when I want to do good, evil's present, and I keep finding myself doing things I don't want to do. That wasn't the gift he was talking about. That was him as a man like you and I. And we've all got that. We've all got flesh. We've all got failures. But we need to quit identifying with that. We need to come back to the Word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me. I like this. I just caught this here the other day. Unto the churches of Galatia. Paul said, let there be elders established in every city. Well, I wonder how big Galatia was. He says there's not just one church over there. There's churches. But they're all in unison. See, that's where we need to get in the body of Christ. We got one pulling this way, that way. We need to all be where we're supposed to be and serve God where we're supposed to serve God and not take anyone out, not put anyone in. Just believe the Word of God the way it was given to us. Paul wrote this one letter and it went to all the churches in Galatia. The only way it could get around is that they were working together. God help us. Help us. Hallelujah. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Aren't you happy this afternoon? That he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I love how Paul does that. What was the first thing he had to establish? He had to show the Galatians what his position was. Because if you don't have confidence in the man of God and the position that God has called him, there's no point in dealing with the man. There's no point in reading the rest of this letter if you don't believe the first five verses here. Because if you don't believe Paul's the apostle to the Gentiles, why would you listen to anything he's got to say? And if you knew what really happened in Paul's day, there was plenty of voices saying, you don't need to listen to this Paul. He's crazy. He's a heretic. And they'd believe in Peter. Oh, yeah, we'll stay with Peter. We'll stay with Apollos. We really like him, even though Apollos was only converted because of Paul. But, you know, we just wash over that and say, no, we don't need to worry about that. We'll just follow this. But yet, if you really found these men that they had built up to be enemies, Paul said, what are you doing? One of you says you're of Paul, one of Cephas, one of Apollos. Aren't we all? We're all one. I don't know what you're doing. We're not separated. We're all one. And I've seen people do that in churches. Think that this minister's against this one because he said this, and they went off and ran with it and said it to this person. By the time it got around, he said, these people hate each other. What are you talking about? How many times have we done that in the churches right here? See, this is really getting down to the rubber meets the road. If you can't love a brother and give him the benefit of the doubt when there is doubt, look, and we don't know all things except when the Holy Ghost tells us. Hallelujah. Come on. That's what's keeping us from coming into unity of the body of Christ. We've got to make the word the absolute. That if I believe it, my brother believes it, we are brothers. I might not like the way he does this or that or the other thing, but that's not what God is looking to. He has given the authority. Oh, come on. If God gave me the Holy Ghost, he's given me authority to be a Christian. If God gave that brother the Holy Ghost, he gave him the authority to be a Christian. So ain't no point in us fighting at each other. We just need to fight against the devil now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So he gets established that he is the apostle. If you go look at other, almost every book, I'll just read you a few real quick. But Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. 1 Corinthians 1:1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. Hallelujah. Not of men, not by men, but by the will of God he was made an apostle. And then the exact same thing in 2 Corinthians and Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And we think at the, let me just read this to you. In Adoption 60, Brother Branham says this. He quotes that scripture. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Oh, I like that. God made him an apostle. No elders laid hands on him. No bishop sent him anywhere. But God called him and made him an apostle. And we look at people in the bride of Christ. Now look, we understand that the word of God moves from one soul to the next. That's how eternal life goes. But you need to hear the voice for yourself. You say, well, maybe I'm not an apostle. That's fine. Maybe I'm not a pastor. Maybe I'm not a deacon. That's fine. But you've got to hear the word of God for yourself, what you're called to be, and then be fearless with it. That's absolutely right. I don't care how simple it is. You be fearless with it and watch God anoint that. Stephen found his position. He didn't go try to be something special. He was a deacon.
That's right.
And he found his position and he became fearless about it. So when it came time for the word of God to be spoken,
Amen.
He went out there. He said, you uncircumcised in neck and ears, and you stiff necks. How long do you resist the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
And they took up stones and stoned him. But I don't believe he fell to one of them because he got looking up there and he said, I see the Son of God standing at the right hand. That's right. And he said, Father, look how fearless he was to the point where he says he had the Spirit of God so much in him as a deacon that he could say, Father, don't lay this sin to their charge. And that's written in the Paul the Apostle was standing out there. See how the grace of God rolled out. Paul, look, that always bothered Paul. You go look it up, watch Paul's life. It always bothered him. He said, I was there when they killed Stephen. I held their coats while they did it. And God just didn't worry about it at all. Why? Because grace had done washed that all away. And Paul knew that. So he put all of his confidence was in that grace. That, look, God made me this. I'm not trying to exalt myself. I'm not trying to be something fancy. I'm just telling you the truth that God has given the gospel to me to give to the world.
Amen.
You say, why did God only give it to him? You want to tell God how to run his program? You got a better idea than the way God did things? I don't think so.
That's right.
You say, well, it didn't seem too effective. Well, last I checked, I'm reading a letter that he wrote over there in prison somewhere, and it's still here today. Seemed to work pretty good, all right. You know, God was able to watch over that. That's exactly right. And we try to figure out how are we going to be the bride? How are we going to do this? How are we going to walk in these things? You don't need to figure any of that out. You just need to know who you are.
Amen.
Know what God has called you to be and then be fearless about it. We've been too wishy-washy. We've been too gray instead of just black and white. I have thus saith the Lord for this day. You have thus saith the Lord for this day. God has sent the voice and he's given the authority to the bride of Christ.
That's right. And it's time to be fearless with it. It's time to realize that when devils come around, I've been given power and authority to cast them out. When sickness tries to creep into my house, it is not allowed in, because God has called me by the authority of the Holy Ghost to be a Christian, to be the bride in this age. And whatever I ask in His name, He will do it. And people get all upset and think you're exalting yourself and all that. It will come with the territory. Yes, it will. You might as well go ahead and get used to it and quit worrying about that. Amen. Our lives are to exalt Jesus Christ, but the only way Jesus Christ can be exalted in this age is that the bride is exalted, because you're His witness in this age. Amen. Hallelujah. For it, 1 Corinthians 1:11, "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brother, them which are of the house of Chloe." I'm going to have to say this. You might not like it, but that's all right. Let me read that one more time. "For it hath been declared unto me of you," he's talking to the Corinthians now, "my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." And we'd all, you know, with our quotes that we've stacked up and lined up the way, say, "Look at that house of Chloe, them bunch of gossipers. Why are they over there talking about Corinthians? Why are they over there talking bad about them?" They weren't trying to talk bad about them. They were telling the truth. Right. And when Paul asked, they told the truth. And that's where we need to get. Don't get all this personal attachment and getting angry and mad about this or that. It has nothing to do with that. If it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. If a church starts teaching that we're allowed to clip our hairs, or sisters allowed to clip our hairs, and our skirts can get shorter and we can wear skin-tight clothes, and our brothers can skip church for football and other things, we need to be able to say that it's wrong. Yeah. And you say, "Well, you hate this brother because he allows that?" No, but it's wrong. Right. And I'm not afraid to say where it came from if it's really asked to that point. Yeah. Sure. Why? Because, and you think that you're trying to protect a brother by not saying his name, but you're throwing everyone else under the bus by making it vague. Because then the devil attaches himself to it and applies it any place he wants.
That's right.
But these faithful people of the house of Chloe, Paul asked them, "How are the Corinthians doing?" They said, "Well, not too good." Can we do that with the service? How was service today? It's always good, isn't it? And it should be. It should, and it is, because Jesus is here. But yet, maybe there's times where we need to check them and say, "Well, I don't know if I did what I was supposed to do today."
Right.
We need to become honest with ourselves and realize that I grieve the Spirit today, because I know what... Look, there's times where I know I've done it. Yes, and I can tell you when it was. I'm not guessing around. I've got the Holy Ghost, and He will tell us these things. We need to get to the place where we know that we've done the will of God today.
Amen.
And that's just not in church, but it definitely starts in church. That's God ordained this for a reason. Don't you tell me there's a better plan. Paul, the same apostle, told you to get together the more as you see the day approaching, and we ought to do that. And we need to get together more separately as well, I think, see one another and things. But the problem is we just goof off too much about that. When's the last time you got together and said, "Hey, let's pray together"?
Sure.
Woo, glory. We're just going to do it. Come on now. Now, see, we want to get together and then we're going to have a Bible study. And then what begins to do with that? Somebody starts spreading some kind of doctrine and gets it all through. But say, "Why don't we just get together and pray?" You say, "Well, I don't know about that." Look, we're supposed to pray everywhere anyways. How about we get together and praise the Lord? How about we just talk about Him a little bit instead of making it feel awkward? Oh, glory to God. It's awkward enough in this world. Why do we make it awkward with Christians to talk about the Lord? It shows you that we've let Laodicea get in too much. Hallelujah. We're the Christians. We're the light of the world. We don't need to be ashamed anymore. We don't need to fear anything. If you're serving the Lord, that's the best thing for you to do. I don't care where you are. I don't care who's around. I don't care who sees it. If you feel joy in your heart and you want to love on the Lord, you better do it.
Amen.
That's right. He says, the house of Chloe, they came and told Paul. He says, there's contentions among them. And Paul says this, "Now I say that every one of you saith..." He got the whole church involved in this. "Every one of you is saying these things, that I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ, and I'm from Lima, and I'm from the South, and I'm from the white church that's cold and formal. I'm from the black church that's loud."
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And we keep identifying with all these things that don't mean a thing.
Right.
And Paul was saying that. And then the last one here, I love this. I'm of Paul, I'm of Paulus, I'm of Cephas. And there was a group that said, I'm of Christ. And that sounds like that would be the right thing to say. And it would have been. But why were they saying it? I don't need Apollos. I don't need Peter. I don't need Paul. I don't need these men. I'm of Christ. Ooh, glory. I just love it. I just get in there and just rub off all these rough edges, you know. That's the hardest part of the job, but it needs done if you want a real masterpiece. You can't leave them little chips on there. It don't look right. We got to get those things off. And that's all right. We need to rub it off. And yeah, if you rub a little too much, you'll get away from the Word. Absolutely. Don't you go making Paul Jesus Christ. Don't you make Brother Bram Jesus Christ. Don't make your pastor Jesus Christ, the one that saved you, that died for you. That is not right. But you want to see Jesus Christ, you'll see it in Brother Bram. You'll see him in Paul. You'll see him in your pastor, I hope. You'll see him in your brother and sister. And if you don't, there's something wrong with your eyes, not what you're seeing. Glory.
Hallelujah.
Woo. Paul says this, is Christ divided? Can I ask that? Is Christ divided? If a brother's got the Holy Ghost, we've got to get to the point of faith where we know we're not divided. So if there's something dividing us, it's not God. It's the devil. Hallelujah. It's Christ divided. Now, what does divided mean? Divided in little carnal impersonations, little things that we differ on. But if it's the Word, that's different. Because that means you're not coming together in one. Brother Bram, he says the same thing. He talks about unity, and everybody thinks it's just because we all come together and we sit together, and that makes a unity. He said, no, unity with the Word. If you're not coming together with the Word, you're not coming in unity. It's a false unity. It's what the voice spoke out against over and just exalted that. It said, don't go that ecclesiastical way. When they say it's peace and unity, it will be destroyed. Because they didn't come one with the Word. They came one with their own ideas. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? And were you baptized in the name of Paul? So Paul's authority, see, they had taken it one extreme or the other. One group thought he was Jesus Christ and thought he was crucified for him, and they baptized in his name and did all, and they've done the same thing with this messenger in this age, and they even think that his children are virgin born. I've heard that stuff, and I forget what minister it was that I used to know what minister. They had a meeting about that. Somebody tried to bring that up in a minister's meeting, and the brother got up and said, you know, you might convince me of that. You might convince these other brothers here that, you know, those boys were and children were virgin born. There's one person you ain't going to convince, that's Sister Mita. Those ain't virgin born children. The Holy Spirit only had one virgin born. Right. And that was the Son of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, Paul had a revelation. We understand he had the revelation of the hour. He had the revelation of who Jesus Christ was. He could see that it was the body of Christ, was the church, which is the bride, and that it was Jews and Gentiles, that God had broke down everything that was in between, and he put it together as one body. And he had that revelation. He knew it for himself. I believe God took him when he was gone for years. We'll get to that later. And showed him these things and brought it all the way through Genesis, Exodus, all the way down and showed him where this revelation was the whole time. And now we've had a voice come and not do that either. But go from Genesis, Revelation, all the way down and then into the New Testament and start rolling around. And then when the New Testament was in the book of Revelation, took the histories and did it again and showed that this revelation never changed. And yet, we still doubt, fluster, and all these. Why aren't we convinced? And you say, well, yeah, I believe this message. I believe that. Then why don't you read it?
That's right.
Why don't you listen to it?
Right.
Come on now. Why don't you do what he said do?
Yes.
We're going to get to some absolutes that he put on this message here in a minute. That this isn't something to play around with. This isn't something to, look, if you don't believe it, you need to get out. I know that's not popular preaching, but that's what Jesus preached. He said, look, I'd rather you be hot or cold than I could bear with you. At least I'd rather have a real enemy than a fake friend. Because at least I know he's my enemy. That's such the deception in this age. We think, man, I wish I could have been David and had Goliath. But yeah, at least David could look and say, that's my enemy. I need him dead. Now in this age, it's, you know, Pastor so-and-so, been in the message 40 years, and he's an intellectual giant. He shows you how, you know, we really don't need the gifts of the Spirit anymore because we've gone beyond that. And
you know, if the prophet were here, we'd still have those things, but it's not really necessary. We're just sitting in the presence of the sun waiting to ripen during this dry time. What does it mean to sit in the sun? Well, if I've got life, that means it should be bringing forth fruit. Now, if I'm dead, you're right. The sun will just cake me and burn me to nothingness. There's only one thing the sun helps. Do you understand that? It destroys everything. It's destroying stuff all the time. There's only one thing it's helping, and that's plant life. The plant life has the ability to take it and make food out of it and then give it to us and replenishes our whole ecosystem, really. But if we're not built right, the sun that's supposed to be helping will just cake you. It destroys the paint on your car. It destroys your roofing. It tears up the roads. It's just terrible for everything. And you get a good denominational preacher, and he'll show you how the word just, it broke up this family here and it did this over here. But yeah, but that was for the word of God. Come on now. Did Jesus say that? You tell me. He said, I've not come to bring peace. I've brought a sword. And I will set father against mother, brother against brother-in-law. See, we don't desire those things. But if you've got the word, those that reject you the hardest will be closest to you. Amen. Now, we got a promise. We got a faith that we can bring those in. But they will fight you first. I've just seen it too many times. They'll just come right against us. They're the most vehement. But my, isn't that just the most glorious convert when they come in? Look, here's the apostle to give you the example. The most vehement against the message of the hour then became the one to give it to the world.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And God's doing the same thing in this age. You stay with the word. Don't let somebody tell you that something that's happened as you stay with the word ain't the will of God. It's always the will of God. It's always the will of God to stay with the word of God. Paul knew this about his office. He knew what he was called to be. And because he had so much faith in what God had done, he exalted it as high as he could get it.
Amen.
How high did he get it? To where he said, let me just read you some things, can I? Just so I can feel that you think I'm making this stuff up, but I'm going to read it to you out of the Bible. Romans 11:13. We're going to turn there. Go open your Bibles, please. Romans 11:13. I'm going to keep rolling around here in these epistles. So just keep handy now. For I speak to you Gentiles. You the Gentile this afternoon? We all know that? Good. For I speak unto you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle. Didn't say there were any others? Didn't say there's anybody else to listen to? I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. Okay? Go to Galatians 2 now. Galatians 2:6. What was that office? Well, he tells us here, but of those, these who seem to be somewhat, whatever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. That's kind of a bold statement, wasn't it? I don't care. Was this Peter, Paul? I don't care. Whatever. It doesn't matter. We're all the same.
Right.
We think that we've got to earn how to be a servant of God. And if this guy who's been serving the Lord 30 years can't do it, there's no way you can. You haven't earned the privilege of speaking in tongues yet. No, that's why Paul said, I don't care about man's person. It doesn't matter. I just got to keep reading it. Whatever they are, it make it no matter to me. God accepted no man person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectively in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Okay? 2 Corinthians now. Go to 2 Corinthians 11. And he says something right here in a few chapters. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4. Second Corinthians 11:4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might bear well with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Go to chapter 12. It's next page there, chapter 12, and then verse 10. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. What is he saying there? You have, in the show, he compelled him to exalt this office because they were starting to doubt what he said. But since you're doubting what I said, Paul knew if they doubt what I am telling them, they will lose their own souls. So fine, I will show you all the evidence I can stack up that I am the apostle to the Gentiles. And you need to take everything that I've given you in these epistles as thus saith the Lord, or you will not make it. They said, fine, you made me a fool. You're making me glorify in what looks like myself, but it's really the grace of God. Amen. But you've made me. Because you don't have the confidence you need in the ministry yet.
That's right.
Therefore, I take, verse 11, I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. See, Paul knew the grace of God. He knew that without Jesus Christ, he was worthless, and he had nothing good to offer. And he wasn't just nothing. He was negative. He was destroying Christians. He was just the bottom of the bottom. The same man that's saying this said, I am the least of all saints. And we think he's contradicting himself. He's not. He's saying, me as a man, I'm worthless. But the grace of God and the gift of God that has been given to you is the greatest apostolic gift that was ever given. I know God worked through Peter. He's the apostle to the Jews. Yes, he is. And he's worked through James and John and all these. But this office that God has given me is for the Gentiles. And I have to exalt it for you to know it is the absolute.
Sure.
I'm not behind the very chief as apostles. Verse 12. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein you were inferior to other churches, except that it be that I myself were not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Let me just stop there. Paul had to exalt what God had done in his life to let the people know that you can say you claim to believe and hold on to the Gospels, but God has moved on. You can claim to believe that God moved through Peter, but God has moved into a new dispensation because you're not even Jews anyways. You're Gentiles.
Yeah.
And we can do the same thing now. God, yes, he moved through the Lutheran, but he's moved on now. You can't just rest in that. God has moved on, and he's moved past Lutheran. He's moved past Wesleyan. He's moved past Pentecostals, and he's moved past every denominational spirit, even the ones that have gotten into this message that have perverted it and turned it left and right. He tore all that down. And Brother Branham himself said, look, just say what the tapes say.
Right.
Just say what I'm saying, because it wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit who opened these seals, who gave this revelation, and you need to put your soul on this because God doesn't waste his time.
Amen.
This is the hour for the bride of Christ to know who she is. And I understand it's not the man himself. It's the ministry that's going through him. But you don't understand, if you have a problem with God working through a man, you'll never get to the ministry. You've got to have faith to get through the veil, because the veil's always on the outside of the Word.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
And God has done this in every age. These are not just special ages. This wasn't just a special first time end time. God has done this pattern all the time. That's why Brother Branham could pick the seven church age messengers flawlessly, because he says God never changes his program.
Yes.
He always does it the same way. We can go all the way back to Jeremiah. And find time and time again where he rebukes them for the same thing. I have sent prophets early and rising up and sending, and you have denied them.
Yes.
You've denied them. You denied them. When they came to Samuel and said, we want a king. And Samuel said, oh, I tried. And they're rejecting me. No, when they rejected Samuel's authority as the prophet, they rejected God as their king. See, and if you go too far the other way, you'll become a Nicolaitan and think that that man is the only way you can hear from God. That man's the one who saved you. See, the borderline between what Paul was trying to exalt his office to and where Jesus was worship. You don't worship Paul. We worship Jesus Christ. But when it comes to believing what was brought to us, you need to believe all that God gave to this man that put in this Bible.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Exactly.
And we think that God wasted his time getting 1,200 sermons recorded for us. I sure, you might not say that, but your actions speak a lot louder than your words when they don't never play nowhere. When they don't never get read and you don't never pay any attention to it, or if he says something you don't like it, you can just put it off to the side and act like it's not a big problem. I'd much rather err on the other side of things and just, and he told me to. That's right. He told me to. And some people don't think they like that until they need the grace of God. Look, there was a time when there was people in Paul's day. There were married men who had unbelieving wives. There were married wives who had unbelieving husbands. And they didn't know what to do. They thought, man, am I supposed to love them? What am I going to do? Is this right? And am I serving God right? And yet the apostle could come with the authority that he's given him and said, this isn't the Lord, but this is me. If they be content, stay together. Because you'll sanctify your unbelieving spouse by staying together. And we think that God did that, not himself. He worked through the office in the day and gave it to Paul. And Paul said, I've been given authority to do this. Those people love that, didn't they?
Uh-huh.
You go all the way back if you really want to. The same thing happened with Moses.
That's right.
They came and they wanted to get divorced. They were having problems. And we understand it was the permissive will of God. It wasn't perfect because Jesus said from the beginning it wasn't this way. But God allowed the prophet Moses to give them a bill of divorcement so they could divorce. That's right. And they appreciated that then. Then the prophet in this age said, you know, I got all these people. He was up on the mountain. Remember, the pillar of fire was coming and giving the marriage and divorce revelation. Now, not the part about getting married and things like most people think. No, he already preached all that. There was a revelation given to him up there, which was, I've got people that have been divorced, remarried, divorced, and remarried. What do I tell them to do? Because if we just go strictly on the Bible, listen now, this might offend you, but if you go strictly, you're an adulterer. You're an adulteress because you're living with somebody that's not your companion. That's thus saith the Scriptures. I know people don't like that, but if you don't repent, that's where you're at. That's absolutely right. And had we not been given a prophet to tell us in this age, we wouldn't know if we were really forgiven or not. And I say we, I know I haven't been divorced, but you understand. But God gave a voice. And he said, look, I've been given the authority as God's prophet to tell you, go on the way you are and serve him.
Amen.
God has forgiven you. Don't ever make that mistake again. And you teach your children not to do it.
Right.
And see, there's people who liked the first part, but they didn't do the second part. And teach their children. They went ahead and said, oh, I got divorced, remarried. It's no big deal. You know, God forgave me. You can go ahead and do the same thing. You just left the promise.
Right.
Because that's what God's grace was. Is the age hadn't been, you might not have known, you were ignorant. God gave you the grace, but he wanted it cut off now.
Yes.
He didn't want it getting into the next generation. Cut it off now so you teach your children so it don't go on.
Amen.
And what should we really be teaching our children? Get the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
What should we be telling them? Find somebody that's got the Holy Ghost before you marry them. Because mommy and daddy made a mistake. But God was gracious to us. We're not glorying in that mistake. We're glorifying the grace of God that came and met us. But don't tempt the Lord and go do the same thing we did.
Right. Amen.
Hallelujah. This is God's program. He's always sent a man in every age to represent him. And that man was the absolute for that age. And that is what right here in the Bible, it was given to Paul. He was the absolute for the revelation of that age. To where even Peter himself, let's find it now. 2 Peter. You might know this scripture. 2 Peter 3. Starting to feel a little bit better. I think you understand a little bit clearer now. 2 Peter 3. Let's go to verse 14. Let me take a drink real quick while you're turning there. Thank you, Lord. Can we just praise Him? Praise Your name, Jesus. You're worthy, Lord. 2 Peter 3:14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, He's talking about the new heavens and new earth. How many is looking for the new heavens and new earth?
Amen.
Amen. saying you're looking for such things. Be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. I love when I see somebody that's really got a revelation of the grace of God. They just got a smile that nobody else in the world's got. They just got a peace that nobody else in the world knows about. God help us to just dive in that blood and just swim in there and don't ever get out, because the grace of God is the most glorious thing you could ever be in. Oh, they'll think you're stuck up. They'll think, you know, they come up and I've had this happen before too. They said, well, are you perfect? Yes. And they'll say, no, nobody's perfect. I understand that. But you didn't ask about me. You asked about me.
Right.
And I'm in Christ and I'm perfect. Because I got the blood all over me. No, I don't got anything wrong. Everything's great. And that gives me a peace. It gives me it shows that I'm spotless and blameless, so I can look at the coming of the Lord and not be afraid.
Right.
Because I know where I'm going when it gets here. That's right. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, let's keep reading. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Did you catch that one? Salvation, God waiting on us is the salvation of the Lord, that He's given us enough time. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right. Account and account. Let me just go back and read the whole thing. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction.
Uh-huh.
Even Peter understood. Look, I understand. And I'm sure he even thought, I don't get it all. You know, he was rebuked to the face by Paul himself.
That's right.
To say, don't act like this. And I believe he responded and accepted the word, but did he completely understand it? Maybe not. He wasn't basing on that. He said, I understand it's not easy to be understood, but I know it's the word of the Lord. And I know it's God's wisdom to us. And for you to deny it and to rest with it and to be unstable and to fight against it, you're creating your own destruction.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir. Huh. Verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your steadfastness, but grow in grace. Not into grace. Grow in grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Him be glory both now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
This is God's program. When God brings the absolute to our hour, God knew, or Paul knew that he was. His office was. Moses knew he was deliverer. Even before he got a revelation of how to do it, he still knew he was. And Moses is a great example on how to exalt it the wrong way and then exalt it the right way. The wrong way was him, look at my mighty muscles. Look how much I've learned in school. Look how much I've become a military man. And let's go kill the Egyptians.
Right.
And that fell apart.
Yeah.
Then God came on the backside of the desert and made him so old he couldn't do nothing no more. He gave him a couple rowdy kids and a smart wife.
Right.
You go look it up. She let him have it time to time. He got there and he was the meekest man on the earth, but he's the one that wrote that down.
Uh-huh.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. But is it true or not? Yes, because he was the authority to where even when he was trying to help them, when he was trying to save them, because Dathan and Korah turned away from his authority, God said, get out of my way. I'm killing them.
Right.
And Moses even said, if these men die a normal death, God has not sent me, but let the Lord do a new thing and open up the earth and swallow them whole.
That's right.
And that's exactly what happened. See, Moses, they think Moses was exalting himself. That's what they thought then. They thought Paul was exalting himself. That's what they thought then. And they think Brother Branham exalted himself in this age. And now they're thinking that the bride's exalting herself in this age.
Right.
The difference is it's the Word all the time.
Amen.
And when you turn down the Word, you've turned down God, and you've neglected your own salvation. As they would just believe Moses and walk in what he told them, they didn't have to understand it.
Right.
God help us to quit being like that. We're built that way in this age. Oh man, if I don't get it and I don't do this, you know, because we're afraid. We're afraid they're going to trick us and get us. And you're probably right in the business world. I'm sure there's some fine print in there that you're gonna lose money. Okay, and all this. But the Word of God don't have fine print. It's all the same print. You see, that's all the same. Why? Because it's all just as important, and God wants you to see it. That's why he even gave some of us older ones a little bit bigger print so we could see it. Isn't that right? Because he wants us to see it and believe it. Sister, I'm sorry. Love you. And don't worry, he's got to do. He's only 50-some. Hallelujah. That's right, sis. Praise the Lord. That's right, you did. You got that. I forgot about that. Praise the Lord. But God help us to understand, how do we grow in grace? Is to stay with the absolute. To not question and doubt and to flutter. But God has given this authority. He gave this authority to Paul. So when we go through the book of Galatians, this is thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. It's thus saith the Lord. There's no point in fighting against it. If I've got something in me that don't like it, I need to recognize my absolute, that it's the devil now. It's the devil telling me this. It's the devil trying to pull me aside. Oh, he's got it painted all right. He'll show you that it's really the grace of God and all these things. That's why they had such a hard time with Paul. And one side he's saying, we're saved by grace. We don't do any works and all this stuff. Then he's saying, you need to let your hair grow. And if you even fight about this, you're not going to make it. Get out of the churches. They couldn't put it together. Why? Because they didn't just come back to the revelation. And you've got to be the Word. But the only way to be the Word is the grace of God. Amen.
Amen.
So what am I telling us to do? It's just to believe the Word, love the Lord, and don't doubt Him no more.
Amen.
Just accept it. You say, well, why didn't God work through me that way? Look, let's go back to Rahab. Rahab the harlot. Two spies come and bring salvation to Jericho. They go to one woman, a prostitute, and they give her the means of salvation. She has now become the mediator of salvation to Jericho.
Right.
And God chose a prostitute.
Uh-huh.
Why do you think the mayor of the city didn't go in there? Uh-huh. Bless God, if they were going to do it, they'd come to me.
Uh-huh.
I've been serving God, or whatever God they were serving, so many years, and bless God, it would be me, and it would be this church, and it would be this person. You just missed the whole program of God.
Right.
God gave it to one prostitute woman. You say, well, why didn't God give it to this person? This person didn't matter. But look, for you to be saved, and you're not Rahab, you had to believe what Rahab was saying.
That's right.
Yes.
And do it.
Uh-huh.
But if you would, you'd have the same salvation she did.
Yes.
Yes.
Woo!
Without, now listen, you're actually more blessed to be that part of it, because you don't have the responsibility of getting it out. Because you're the first one to get it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm glad I'm not Brother Branham. I'm glad I didn't have to have that kind of authority and that kind of position. It's nerve-wracking enough where I am at with the Lord and what I have to be responsible for. And you're the same way, you understand. But praise God that we still get the same benefits.
Yes.
We do.
Amen.
When we get those 11th-hour workers were flipped the same penny everyone else was that worked all day.
Amen.
And if you better not get some religious spirit, because you'll act like they did. Well, bless God, I served Him for 20, 50 years. I should get more. No, get that out of here. We're going to a place eternal anyways, so time doesn't matter.
Amen.
What matters is crossing over.
Amen.
All right, I got some quotes, and I'm going to wrap this up. Trying to do God a service without being the will of God, 1965. This was Moses speaking to Israel after he had been vindicated by God by the pillar of fire, and knowed he was proven to be God's servant to lead them out. And before they went into the land, before they entered, Moses said, now the words that I have spoken to you, I call heaven and earth to witness against you. If you add one thing to it, or take one word from it, you'll not stay where the Lord God gives you. So say I, in the name of Jesus Christ, don't you add one thing. Don't put your own ideas in it. You just say what it said on those tapes. You just do exactly what the Lord God commanded you to do.
Amen.
Don't add to it. I'm going to read you another one. God's only provided a place of worship, 1965. Now, church, we're teaching now, but remember, when you leave here, start moving out of the shuck now. Listen now. You're going into the grain, but lay in the presence of the Son. Don't add to what I've said, and don't take away what I've said, because I speak the truth as far as I know it, as the Father hath given to me. See, don't add to it. Just say what I said. The thing of it is, just tell the people to come seek the Lord Jesus, and then you yourself lay right in His presence and just make love to Him. Oh, Lord Jesus, Son of God, I love you. Tender my heart, Lord. Take away all the filth and the love of the world and let me live holy in this present world before you. Jesus gave us a promise, too, that goes right with this. In Matthew 10:41, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Hallelujah. And he that receiveth a righteous man. Come on now. What's a righteous man? A man that's got the Holy Ghost. A man that's in the righteous man. And if you will receive a righteous man, in the name of a righteous man, you'll receive a righteous man's reward. I believe that's what God was trying to show us. You need to receive the messenger, but if God uses someone down the line to get that message to you, you need to receive it as well. And you'll get the same reward as all of these people did.
Amen.
Glory to God. Let's stand together. Let's worship His name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
And this wasn't some minor problem.
Thank you, Jesus.
Paul said it this way, I marvel. What does marvel mean? It means he was just perplexed. He was astonished that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. How were they removed from the grace of Christ? It's because someone had come in and challenged Paul's authority on the gospel. And because they had done that, they took out the legs behind it. Hallelujah. Let me read this one. I forgot I wanted to get to it. Just listen, please. It hasn't been that long. I feel like I've preached 2 hours, but I really haven't. Romans 2:14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing them witness, and their thoughts the mean while accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. According to my gospel. God gave the gospel to Paul. The gospel was lost in the dark ages, but praise God, a voice came.
Yes, it did.
And showed us what was said back there as clear as it could be and brought it right here to 2015.
Amen.
And showed us that it's the same word today.
Amen.
Jesus, the light of the world. I think we all know this one, key F.
We'll walk in the light, such a beautiful light.
Worship Him now.
Woe comes with the dewdrops of mercy are bright.
Let the light shine this afternoon. Thank you, Jesus.
We'll walk in the light, such a beautiful light. Oh, it comes with the dewdrops of mercy are bright.
Have your own altar call right where you are now.